This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening to you for Wednesday, May 1st, 2013. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and of course I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Hello, everyone. Good to be here.
Yes, we welcome everyone listening to the live program as well as those listening to the archive. Glad you could join us tonight. Tonight's program, we're going to be talking about finding the courage to make changes in your life. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, we also operate Metaphysics Institute, or properly known as the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, IMHS. We offer metaphysics degrees, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral, and a variety of specializations. For more information, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you'd like to just take a standalone course or certification course, you can do that too at our sister site, newageclass.com is there. Before we get into the program tonight, we want to do our regular profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle of do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about finding the courage to make changes in your life. You know, change is it can be a very scary thing for a lot of folks. And when big changes come around, it takes courage to make those changes, especially when you're, in the midst of darkness. You're not sure which direction to go. You're not sure which is the right decision to make. You know, and if you make the wrong decision, you could end up leaving friends and family behind, so to speak. You know, they won't agree with it. They'll give you resistance and so forth. So we're going to talk about that, how to do that, how to find that courage.
Well, I think, and what most people can relate with, Doug, is in relationships. You know, when you know it's the right thing to do and leave a relationship, but there's still the memories of the past. And the tendency is to hang on to the good stuff, and then you still feel an emotional connection. It's pretty natural stuff.
Well, let's talk about change, first of all. You know, why is change such a problem for so many people? Well, let's establish what change is and why, why people resist it. And some people resist it more than others. Excuse me.
Well, I think that change, any way you look at it, it's a constant in life. Like, everything is changing. It's right. Just that we like to have control over how those changes happen.
There you go. And that's the root of why people resist change. It's like kind of like an onion. You know, you take the layers away and you get down to the core issue. Why do people resist change? Because of fear, right? Fear of what? Fear of the unknown? Yeah. But we keep peeling those onion layers away and we get down to the very core, and that is fear of losing control. That's why we resist change, because we fear of that losing some control. Obviously, comfort zones and habits and all that come into play as well, but it all boils right down to fear of losing control. Even when we're in a dysfunctional relationship, we may feel we have some measure of control, even if that is bound up in just we're comfortable with that. We know what to expect, so we're comfortable with it in a sense, even though we may not like it. And to change, wow, you know, what's going to come after this? I mean, what's going to become of me? What's going to become of the relationship? What about the kids? On and on and on. We have all these questions, so we can resist that change. And here's another nugget for you, you know. When the pain of remaining the same is more than the pain of change, we change. And so sometimes we're kind of forced into it because it's just too painful to remain where we're at. So, it's less painful to make those changes in our life. So the courage, you know, part of that, where does that courage come from? Well, obviously it comes from within. But the thing that will help us to find that courage is to understand what change is. We've just been talking about that. To understand who you are and why you are who you are. To understand on a deep level that you deserve all the good things in life, the same as anyone else, no more, no less. And so if you're in a place where you feel like change is necessary, but you're not sure which way to go, well, you're not alone. You're not the only one that's been there, and you're not the only one that's there now. We've all been there. And it can be a bit scary because you don't know which direction you're going. So it helps to do some problem solving, some pondering, some meditating on it. All things, well, here's a good question for problem solving. You know, if there was no downside, what would I do? What changes would I make? If you've got family members or a significant other applying pressure to you to remain the same or to not do something or to not make the change, what would you do if there was no downside? If there was nothing to lose, what would you do? That's a huge question, and it's not easy to always answer that right away. Maybe it is sometimes, but answer that question. If there was no downside, what would you do? Well, that's going to give you some indication of the changes you might want to make. So now, once you've identified the changes you want to make, positive changes, growth, relationships, whatever, now you can begin to move that direction. You can begin to problem solve, okay, what would I have to do to make this change? What would need to be done first, second, third, so forth? There's another principle, too, that you want to keep in mind. Sometimes we get to a point where we don't see a solution. We realize a change needs to be made, but we're stumped. We don't know what to do. We don't know where the solution lies. And so we end up staying stuck in a tough situation. Well, sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. That can also include your knowledge base. If you don't know what to do, where to go, where to turn, which decision to make next, it means you need more data, and you need to broaden your belief system. For example, if you've always been taught that, let's give an example. If you're in a toxic relationship in a marriage, and you've always been taught that divorce is not good, you never divorce, you always stay together, well, that's you're limited by your belief system. That's what's holding you there. You need to move outside of that belief system. And you're going to do it. One sooner or later, it's going to happen. You might as well make it proactive.
Well, and I think just in keeping with what you just said, Doug, is people have a large fear of being alone, but they don't know that they've been alone while they were in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's fears. It's the belief system, right? It's how we view things. Sometimes we just have to turn the dial a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the belief system is that I cannot function unless I have somebody with me or I'm always with someone. And but you know a change is inevitable, but you just don't know which way to go. So the belief system is that I have to find somebody else to be with, or somebody has to come and rescue me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just causes all kinds of other very, to me, scarier dynamic, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's why we teach self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three create self-completeness. You got to be able to stand on your own two feet. If you're in a toxic relationship and you're looking to get out and you simply switch to another relationship, that's not healthy for a number of reasons. Number one, you haven't really changed. You haven't done any work on yourself. In order to have a healthy relationship, we have to be healthy inside. We have to have that healthy energy signature. If we have a healthy energy signature, we're going to attract other people with healthy energy signatures. If we have a dysfunctional or unhealthy energy signature, that's exactly what we're going to attract. And so it's never a good idea to there are exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, it's not a good idea to go from one dysfunctional relationship into another relationship. We've got to make sure that we have grown, that we have changed, because, you know, if you want your outside world to change, you've got to change your inside world first. Your outside world is nothing more or less than a reflection of your inside world. And your outside world, there's always a lag, you know. I mean, you change inside, and then it takes a little time for your outside world to catch up, for reality to synchronize with your inner view. So you got to give it a little time.
You know, Doug, you and I have our own stories in our lives of how we've had to make some really big decisions,
mm-hmm.
to make changes. And I know you've, you know, been very open and honest about this, having had to leave your family, everything that your whole life was based on in a belief system, to venture into reclaiming yourself. And I did the same thing. I had to leave my family, very dysfunctional, a lot of alcoholism, drug addiction, and just really poor behavior that went with that, and I left that. It's very hard because, you know, we can both agree that we do... There is a connection, a spiritual connection that we have with people and a love that we feel, but it's something we have to do to claim more of ourselves. If I want to, you know, rise into the challenge of me, and if I want to get healthier, learn more, self-study, you know, find the world interesting again, then I do have to make these decisions to leave the other stuff behind. And whether that's family, some people it's friends. I know a lot of people make a lot of compromise and aren't willing to take the change to the degree that it needs to become healthy. And I don't recommend it for everybody, but they'll change a little, but not enough where they feel better. So it's when that desire, you said it earlier too, when the desire is greater than the fear. You know, there's many different ways to say this. When the desire for yourself and reclaiming yourself and wanting a better life outweighs the fear of the change and what you have to leave behind, there's no effort.
Mm-hmm.
It's you just do it, but there's always going to be, for years and years to come, you say, oh, geez, I remember when I was a kid. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's always going to be that nostalgia, if
mm-hmm.
you will. That's probably a good word for it.
Mm-hmm.
The little bit of sentimentality. But we can't buy into those moments that are just moments. Like 5 minutes of the week that we're feeling nostalgic does not warrant enough to go back into that
right.
stuff, which we see happen a lot.
And those are some great points. And in fact, I'm just going to expand on those. I don't usually get detailed on my own experience. And, you know, we all have our story. We all have our victories and our defeats and our good moments and our bad, and so on and so forth. One of the things, you know, I've been working with alcoholic relationships and teaching about that and coaching about that for, gosh, better than 10 years now. That's I started EmpoweredRecovery.com back in 2001. So what is that? Almost 12 years ago. You know, so I've heard every story, and I've seen, and they're all the same thing, only different. You know, and they're tough. You know, these, but mostly women, not always women, but usually women, in these alcoholic relationships that they feel locked and stuck and trapped and on and on. And there's quite a few men that are in the same boat too, and the same feelings. I obviously was there once, and so when I couldn't figure out or find a program with a solution, I created one. That's just who I am, what I do. So I created Empowered Recovery, and that's where a lot of my life skill concepts were developed, at least originated, and so on. But one of the things that I want to point out here is that if you are in a situation where you're stuck, you feel stuck, you're in a bad relationship, there's all kinds of situations out there. I'm just picking some here. It doesn't matter what you're in, but if you feel stuck, bad job, bad relationship, bad marriage, bad partnership, whatever it is, and you think, I just can't leave it, what will he do? What will she do? Who will take care of him? Those are all codependent feelings, by the way. And you need to work on you. And I really doubt that most of you stand to lose what I lost. Now, I'm not boasting here. I'm just saying there's always somebody with a situation worse than yours. When I was in the throes of an alcoholic marriage, and this is back in up until about 1999 when I left it in January of 1999, my situation at the time was I had been married 18 years. I had at the time he would have been about 12 years old, 12-year-old son. I was an elder in the church and had been for years, and found that very fulfilling, and did a lot of good work that way, and just that helped. That was part of my purpose. That's what fulfilled me. I found a lot of satisfaction in that. But my son and I were both dying inside at home. It was terrible. You know, she just, if you ever lived through it, you know what I'm saying. It was just, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Codependence was right. You know, it's just a terrible situation, and you literally have to live it every day to understand what it's like, the waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, I'd go pick up my son from school, and he'd say, hey, Dad, do you think we could go do this tonight? And I'd say, well, son, let's get home and see what's going on with your mom, you know. And she basically was ruling us in that way. I didn't realize it at the time, but that's the way it was. And so, you know, and I was always taught God hates a divorcing. So divorce was out of the question, and I was trying everything I could figure out, and had been for years, trying to figure out how to help her, how to help her get better, how to help her stop drinking and return to the person that she once was, that I married. And I've tried everything I could find. I mean, tried everything known to man. But the solution that I was seeking was outside of my belief system, because there was only one solution to it, and that is to leave that relationship. And it took me years, and it took me a lot of epiphanies, and a lot of tears, and a lot of prayers, and that went unanswered, by the way. And it just went nowhere, you know. And so I finally got it. There's only one solution. I took my son and we left. And, you know, of course, it kind of went downhill from there. I divorced her. She later died a few years later from alcoholism. And, you know, our life is great. I just had lunch with my son today. He's now, you know, he'll be 27 this summer. You know, he's doing well. He's sharp. He's a great guy. And so, when I left that marriage, it's not all I left. This is the key. Because most people will just leave a relationship. Now, I will grant you that when you're in a toxic relationship like that and you leave, it will polarize family members and friends. You'll have mutual friends. You'll have family members. It will polarize those relationships. Some will side with them. Some will side with you. And there's going to be casualties in relationships with other people. It's just the way it works.
And if I can insert here, Doug, people always then feel the need to defend their decision to leave.
Mm-hmm. And so when I left the marriage, I didn't just leave the marriage. You see, I couldn't be an elder anymore in my church. Plus, at the time, I was just, you know, with the unanswered prayers and all that stuff, and just age and maturity and evolution and growth, I began seriously questioning the church's beliefs anyway. And that was Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I did my research, which you're not supposed to do. I mean, they'll excommunicate you for that. But I did my research, and I read up on it, and I looked at the whole picture, and I realized this is not it. This is not what I thought it was and had been taught it was. And so I couldn't be an elder anymore because I was separated from my wife at the time. So there goes a big part of the satisfaction I found in life. Okay, so that's gone. And because I couldn't deal with the beliefs of the church anymore, I left. And guess what else that meant? That means that when you leave everybody. And for me, that meant most virtually, and I'm not kidding you, virtually every single one of my family members, extended family members, and friends that I'd known all my life. I'm not kidding. I mean, I was fourth generation Jehovah's Witness. So, you know, everybody I ever knew was a witness. And so I left them all behind. Now, what do they think of me? They think I ran off with another woman. That's ludicrous. It's a joke. It's absolutely not true. Not at all. Not in any way, shape, or form. I left because I could no longer believe that stuff. And I left the marriage because my wife was killing us, my son and I. I mean, literally, she was just destroying us all. And that's what alcoholics do. They kill everybody around them. And so the people that I love and loved and still do love, my brother, my sister, my family, my aunts, uncles, relatives, cousins, and dear friends for all those years that I still have a lot of love for and affection for, my reputation with them is all dead. They think I went to the world, you know, and they all think I just lost my head. I didn't lose my head. I found Doug. You see, I finally realized I'm not willing to sacrifice my principles for anyone or anything, period. And so I did not so much leave them as I found myself. Now, in my belief system, it's not me who cannot allow them into my life. It's them who cannot allow me into their life. So here I am in 1999, separated from my wife, you know, left the church. That meant all my friends, families, members, all of them gone out of my life. My support system that was in place is now gone. And I lost my God, I lost my religion, I lost it all. But I gained me. And that was more important than anything. Of course, it threw me into an existential crisis for 2 or 3 years. You know, I went from Christian to deist to pretty much agnostic, where I still am, meaning I don't know all the answers. I don't know them. Nobody does. And I'm not going to be an atheist, meaning that, you know, this is all there is, with materialist view, where, you know, there is no mind, really. There is no soul. There is no life after death. There is no paranormal. That's baloney. What I'm trying to say here is that I lost everything, but I gained everything. I gained my son. I gained myself. And it took me a little time to get over that hump. But I probably lost more than most people will ever think about losing. So those changes, where did I find the courage? I found the courage within me. I found the courage because, to me, there was no greater thing than being true to myself. Even when people thought I was wrong, misunderstood, falsely accused, you did this, you did that. No, I didn't. You know, I know who I am, and I know why I am who I am. And so, yeah, it hurts to hear them say that, but you know what? It's not true. And I don't have to prove myself to anybody but me. So that's my story. I'm sticking with it.
You know, when you say there's this hump between there and here, I call it the bridge.
Yeah,
and it's like, when you're at the bridge, you look at that bridge, it's a very scary bridge. It's like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. We don't believe in God.
Of course it is.
But it's very alarming. But once you step on the bridge, this is what I promise people, because I've been there too, is once you step on that bridge, you realize that your foot has somewhere to go. And then you take another step on that bridge. And you take a few more steps and you say, oh, there's a bridge here. And that you can look behind a little bit for a minute, and then you look forward and you're saying, okay, I'm crossing this bridge, because you're already on it now. And as you're crossing the bridge, it's like a piece of cake. It's the fear of getting to that bridge that can be paralyzing.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get through that paralysis, once you get through that, you know, it seizes you up for a moment, like, geez, I really do have to let go of this life that I know, this reality that has been my existence. I must release that. And once you do that and you step on the bridge, there's no going back. And that's ultimate freedom, you know, that ultimate power of, you know, not having control over other people, but having control over yourself. That is the ultimate power. I truly believe that. I preach it to wherever. But it is that welcoming the change to say, and that's where I think where faith comes to, about I have faith in myself. Mm-hmm. I have faith in life. I have faith that I can get through this. And, you know, Doug, a lot of times, I know it sounds really silly and cliche, curiosity has been my best friend. I'm always curious, like wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm still here. Well, okay, well, I wonder what'll happen today.
I'm still here.
Yeah, you know, and okay, so what's going to happen today? What will today bring? You know, and I think part of the fear of change is the fear of pain.
Yeah.
And the news flash for everybody is that pain is going to happen. Mm-hmm. We're always going to feel some kind of pain, whether that's an emotional pain or, geez, I stepped on a nail. You know, because there is that part of life that is not comfortable. It's, you know, it's like for some people, it's pouring rain outside and that's painful. You know? Mm-hmm. And so it's relative to who you are. It's relative to your suffering, what you've known. It's relative to what you see as joy. It's relative to your particular view of yourself in the world. But truly, that fear of being alone, we are always alone. We're just looking outside ourselves to make ourselves feel comfortable, mm-hmm. feel important, feel like we belong somewhere. But it's always been there. We're just now becoming conscious to it. Good. So it's being able to welcome that consciousness to say, oh, I get it now. And I don't fear pain. And as long as I don't fear pain, I'm not going to fear the change, at least as much.
Good points. And, you know, along with this finding courage to change, again, I talked about how you got to look inside and understand that you're worth it, that you accept yourself, and that you must be true to yourself regardless of what other people think of you. Because remember that old saying, you know, what you think of me is none of my business. You've got to be true to yourself. You've got to know who you are and why you're doing this. Now, I'm not advocating being selfish or being stupid or unhealthy and making changes or the times we have to leave people behind in life. But there's also a couple of other little nuggets here that to be aware of or to factor in. Number one, that if changes need to be made, you're going to make them sooner or later. And that comes to my now or later rule, you know. If you've got a problem, you have a choice. You can either take care of the problem now, or you can suffer longer and still take care of it later. But either way, you will take care of it sooner or later, or you'll die from the pain, depending on the problem, of course. So when you have changes to make, the universe is giving you opportunities to make those changes. And if you don't make them, it's going to force your hand, because you can't go on that long without them. Remember the now or later rule. If you got a problem, you have a choice. You can take care of it now, or suffer longer and still take care of it later. Anyway. And whenever we don't take care of problems, we let them go, what do? Get better or worse? Obviously, they get worse. So the big question is, if you're going to do it anyway, the only question you're going to answer is, how long do you want to suffer? Because you're going to do it. Sooner or later, the only question is, how long do you want to suffer in between? And there's also another nugget to keep in mind, too, another point. I have found, and I'm sure listeners have as well, that people come in and out of my life over the years. You know, people will come into my life for a little while and then they'll leave. You know, it's like they come into your life, you come into their life, you exchange, you benefit each other some way, And then you just kind of part ways and life goes on. Some people come and stay a very short time. Some people come and stay a very long time. Few come and stay a long time, you know. But that's something to think about. Why did I leave the religion? I outgrew it. And along with the people that I knew in that religion, I no longer believe the same way. So I outgrew them too. Well, is that narcissistic? No, it's just true. You know, I could no longer see that and no longer had a need for something outside of myself, whereas they still do. I don't need that. Again, you got to know who you are and why you are who you are. You know, do no harm, do right. But that goes for you too. Do no harm to yourself and do right for yourself. Don't be selfish or narcissistic. You're not better or worse than anyone else. We're all equal here. But do the healthy thing. Do the right thing. Look inside and grab onto that courage, knowing that whatever comes on your journey is a learning opportunity. Are you going to make mistakes? You bet you will. That's who we are, what we do. That's what it means to be human. But those mistakes are really just learning opportunities. And you don't kick yourself. You don't shame yourself. You say, hey, another learning opportunity. What do I learn out of this? How can I use this? What's the spiritual lesson that I need to learn here so that I avoid this same mistake down the road? That's what you do. You grab onto that inside of you. You hold your head high. You stand tall. You use your head. You use critical thinking. You use problem solving. If there's no downside, what would I do? Then you go about doing that in the best way possible that does no harm and does right. People might say, well, yeah, but if I leave my marriage mate or whatever, I'm doing them harm. Are you? That's not necessarily true. You know?
You know, there's, I think, I call it emotional inflammation. We can't think straight.
Yeah.
And when emotions get the better of us, a little recommendation, said it before, say it again, give it 10 minutes. And if it demands more attention, give it a half hour. That's it. And if it's still there, go have a nap. Because if the emotions are doing your thinking, you're never going to make the right decision. You know, and the other thing I have to say about, you know, changes, Doug, and keeping, again, with what you've been saying, is just another view of it, is you can participate in the decision-making process of your life, or it will bite you. And
yeah,
you will be at the mercy of that change. And then you have no power. And then you take the crumbs. And then you have to claw your way back up again, you know, to get back on top of your game. And that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an opportunity to be proactive in your life and participate in the decision-making, as you said, Doug, you know, with critical thinking and, you know, that process to the best of your ability, you know, and putting emotions in check. Emotions have to be in check to make good decisions, is that then you can, you know, that's ultimate power, and you welcome change. But, hey, I've done it myself. I say, well, you know, I'm put this off, I'll put it off. And the next thing you know, oh, hey, and divorce is the best part. This is the best example of all. Two people, you know, they're getting a divorce. One doesn't file with the lawyer, but the other one's plotting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then why did they do that? Well, if you'd have had your papers filed in there like months ago, this wouldn't happen. You know?
Yep.
And so you just get on the game. You get on it, do things, and that's when your intuition is beautiful. Because if you're emotionally in balance and you are thinking proactively, your intuition is going to be sharp as a tack. You'll just know. You'll wake up that morning and say, this is the day to do that. This is the day to do this. And then you're now being proactive. And, you know, life's going to throw us ringers. It's always going to have something to throw at us, a curveball. Because there are things outside of our experience. There's always going to be things outside of, you know, not just our belief system, but, hey, I've never been down this road before. So that's where you take it as that learning experience and say, oh, I'm in a new game here, and I guess I got some learning to do. And then you welcome that change.
There's a couple of things you've alluded to I want to comment on. Number one, you just alluded to, is basically your power, taking your power back. That's really what this is all about. As I've said on many shows, the panacea to everything that ails you is to take your power back. Reclaim yourself. Take your power back. Do what's right. Do what's right for you. Do what's right for all concerned. But take your power back. Then there's another thing you'd mentioned earlier in the show about how we might make these decisions to leave a relationship or something and then have those weak moments where we, the nostalgic moments where we think about, oh, it was so nice going there and we had such a fun time and other people were there, blah, blah. And we start reminiscing. And we, you know how human memory is. We remember the good stuff and don't remember the bad stuff so much. And, you know, you're going to have those times. I mean, I reminisce about times I've had with my family and friends. And here's how you handle those things, okay? Because they're going to come, and those thoughts are going to cross your mind. So here's how you handle them. You think about them. You reminisce. You just breathe in the nostalgia, whatever you want. Feel the good feelings for all they're worth. And then release those, because those are bygone chapters. They're still in your memory, and you can still visit them. But that's not real life anymore. Things change. So it's part of the grieving process. You know, when you feel the grief, feel it for all it's worth. Cry all the tears you want. And as Vicky often says, 10 minutes, you know, and then let it go. Open your hands and release that energy. And the more you do that, the less energy that it will contain or will hold within you, and you'll be able to move past it. So if you feel grief, fine. Feel it. Experience it, touch it, hold it, feel it, caress it, explore it, and then let it go. Let it go.
Change is a beautiful thing, Doug. It can be, you know.
It is. I mean, my life is awesome right now, and it will be forever because, you know, it's what I've done.
But you have a good attitude.
Well, yeah, but I haven't always had a good attitude. I mean, it took a lot of work and a lot of growth and a lot of lessons and a lot of bloody noses and skinned knees to get here. But that's what you can have. And that's another thought I had earlier. You were talking about the bridge. You know, when I was back in the middle of all this trouble and drama and dysfunction, I literally felt like I was on a boat in the middle of a foggy sea and I couldn't see any direction. And I needed to go some direction, but I didn't know which direction to go. The only thing I could do is paddle one way and till I came to something, you know. And so you've got that. You don't know where to do it, but you just go, move forward, you know. You've got to make your decisions, and you've got to learn your lessons and make the mistakes and grow and be better. And I know what I wanted to say is, it's, and it reminded me of the bridge too, is, you know, then one day that fog, it lifted and all there was sunny skies and I could see for miles, metaphorically speaking. That's exactly what happens. You can seem like, I remember driving in South Dakota in Black Hills when I lived there years ago. I remember driving it from Rapid City to Spearfish and, man, it was springtime, and there was just, it looked ominous, black clouds. I mean, it looked like, all right, you know, the end of the world's here. I mean, it was that bad, and I thought, oh, man, it must be raining forever beyond, you know, those hills right there. And I kept driving down the interstate, and it wasn't 20 miles, probably less, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, all of a sudden, those clouds just lifted, and it was a beautiful day behind those clouds. And didn't hardly get any rain. It just looked really bad. But there wasn't anything to it. And that's exactly what happens when you make the tough choices. You do what you got to do. You step up to the plate. You hold your head high. You stand tall. You learn who you are. You learn from your mistakes. You take your power back. And those skies open up. And life opens up. And you say, wow, how did I live that way for so long? Oh, my Lord, it's like so good now that I can't believe I did make these decisions a long time ago. And that's not just me. It's everybody I've ever talked to in these situations. They always can't believe how much better it is now that they made those tough calls. and they got past it. They embraced that courage. They got past it, and they think, oh, man, if I'd known this, I'd have done it a long time ago. But then we get back to that fear of change, fear of the unknown.
You know, I often say, boy, it took me 6 years to learn that, and I could have learned that in 6 minutes. Because there was just one point I had to learn, but it took a long time.
It's like Zig Ziglar says, you know, radio signals can go around the world in a split second. Sometimes it takes years to go that last quarter of an inch.
I know. But it's very true. You know, sometimes we're just really stubborn. You know, sometimes we're just kind of thick-headed. And here's an opportunity, because what I think we can impart from our life experiences through this MCHS program is we didn't have anybody there to tell us those precious little gems. We didn't have, I certainly didn't, I know Doug didn't, we didn't have a mentor. We didn't have somebody with, you know, these good words of wisdom, or somebody to say, you know, that encouragement or the cheerleading, or just to help us connect the dots. We had to sit in agony, you know, thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And, you know, relying on this spiritual faith that comes from somewhere, that we had to believe in ourselves to do it alone. You don't have to. This is what we're trying. This is what we do with the show. You don't have to. This show offers all kinds of life experience, many, many decades of life experience, for people to empower their lives, to make it just a little bit easier, to make it a little more sensible, and to help you gain your own power that you can endure change and make your life a little better that much quicker, so you don't have to go through all those years. Yeah, you might take a few years, but it won't be 20 or 10. It can be one or two.
Or less.
Or less. 5 minutes.
Yep.
6 minutes. Great show, Doug.
Yeah.
Great show.
You know, and I just want to leave everyone with these summary thoughts. You know, take your power back. Look within for your courage. You've got it. Know who you are and why you are who you are. Don't be afraid to make the tough decisions in life. We all have to. Even those people that you think will criticize you, they got to do it too. They're just not there yet. You know, so look within, find that courage, understand that it only gets better from here. Understand that we have to become healthy within so that our world outside becomes healthy, and so that we attract healthy people. And remember, if you've got a problem, you can take care of it now, or you can suffer longer and still take care of it later, but either way, you're going to take care of it. So you might as well be about it and stop the suffering. You know, embrace who you are. You know, find pride in who you are. Don't sacrifice your values for anyone or anything or any reason.
The power is within you.
Mm-hmm. Now, next week we're gonna start something new on the second Wednesday of the month. We're gonna do psychic development, including psychic readings. So please join us for that.
Yeah. Hope everybody joins in for that show. I'm looking forward to it.
That's right.
As always.
Yeah. So that's next week. So you can join us in the chat. Type in your birth date, and Vicki will do her thing and tell you the winning lottery numbers. And oh wait, you don't do that part. That costs extra. I'm sorry.
I keep them for myself.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for taking your time with us tonight, whether you're live or archive, and we appreciate that. And just believe in yourself. You know, we're all in this together. We can all make it together. So, thanks. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and really live. Live your life. Good night.
Good night, everyone.